put you down for a while. Well, you know I can't quit you, babe, but I got to put you down for a while.
Hey everyone, I'm Patrick Connor and welcome back to Knuckles and Gloves Boxing Radio. It's just me doing this particular episode, though I managed to speak with Steve 2-Pound Forbes about the Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. exhibition on Triller and to get some updates from him about what might be happening with boxing in Portland in 2021. Now, this past weekend wasn't quite as jam-packed with boxing as we've had during some weekends in the last month or two, but stuff happened. There was Joe Joyce's stoppage victory over Daniel Dubois on ESPN+. Daniel Jacobs straight up snoozed his way past Gabe Rosado on DAZN, and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. braved last-minute replacement Jason Minda. And if you were brave enough to shell out $10 on some random website purporting to offer the fight broadcast, I guess you watched it. But let's not waste a bunch of time here. The event of the weekend was Mike Tyson and Roy Jones fighting to an unofficial draw at the Staples Center on an app called Triller. Snoop Dogg straight stole the show with some hilarious commentating, but as I said a moment ago, I chatted with Steve Forbes, former junior lightweight champion, about Tyson Jones and what's happening in boxing in Oregon. So here's 2 pounds, 2 cents.
So first of all, I got to ask, what does it feel like after watching last night and seeing guys like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones steal your ideas, Steve? Come on,
you get in there.
You get in there with DeMarcus Corley and put on a show, and these guys are stealing your ideas now.
It's funny because I've been talking about something like that for a few years. You know, like a legends type league, an older league of older fighters, former champs, getting in there, just kind of having fun, but still having a purpose. And yeah, they took it. They're higher, bigger names than mine. But you know, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to admit, and feel free to contradict me if you disagree, but I didn't really know what to expect going into watching last night. A lot of people didn't. There was some confusion with the California State Athletic Commission. There was some confusion with the guy Kavanaugh that runs the Triller app. So it's kind of seemed like there were conflicting claims. I didn't know what to expect going in. But to be perfectly honest, adding everything all together, I thought it was pretty fun. I thought it was real fun.
Me too, Patrick, and I agree with you. I didn't know what to expect either. I was thinking this could go horribly wrong and really go bad in so many ways. Because when they started doing all the whole rules and stuff, I'm thinking, when you do that, it kind of settles down. Like, even with me and Chop, we didn't have when you've been around a long time, you kind of know you can go. You know, you can go at a good pace and stuff. I mean, you're not going to – especially the other guy's a former champ. He knows what he's doing in there. I mean, and so with that said, and I even like Tyson's interview when he said, hey, man, everybody worried about Roy. What about me? I haven't been in there in 15 years. You know, so that was perfect, you know, because, I mean, Roy – there was a time when Roy Jones was favorite to beat Mike Tyson. You know, I remember that. And I mean, of course, you know, Tyson was going through what, you know, he hadn't fought in a while and all that stuff. And he was, you know, wasn't the Mike that, you know, the 19, 20 year old kid. So I remember that time when Roy was favored to beat him. And, you know, there was talk of that. And then now you fast forward, you know, more than a decade and it's everybody's worrying about Roy getting hurt. I mean, I thought, you know, you had two guys in there knew what they were doing. You know, it was entertaining. You know, I was pretty pleased with how it came off and how, you know, they have respect for each other and stuff like that. And it was fun, you know, and it was, you know, they wasn't going light either, you know, so they were, you know, it was like a good sparring match. I mean, Floyd Mayweather and myself have had some good, I wish those would have been filmed. They are, but, you know, I don't know if we'll ever see them, but they were some good ones, pretty good. You know, where you got a guy skilled, a guy that's a great fighter, you know, and yeah, me, that's a former champion that's been around the corner a bit. And it was fun. And I enjoyed watching Mike and Roy do that. I thought both guys was, you know, the pace was a good pace. And, you know, it was fun. It was a fun night.
And it really was kind of like, in a way, the best possible outcome. Nobody got hurt. There was nothing, you know, no blood spilled. Nobody got seriously injured. I will say, a couple of those body shots from Mike, though, they were serious. He wasn't messing around.
Yeah. No, I saw that, and I seen Roy kind of, you know, show that it did affect him. You know, I mean, it was all in all. I mean, I thought, I was talking to my buddy Nate in Vegas, and I think we both agree that it couldn't have went any better as far as we loving Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, and seeing both of them still be able to get in there and give us something. You know, it's one of those fantasy fights, I think, which was, you know, now at an exhibition stage. I remember watching an exhibition of Tommy Hearns and Gerald McClellan in Detroit. I seen a video of it, man. I was like, man, I remember there were used to be exhibitions and fighters would do exhibitions like Larry Holmes and all these guys training for fights. I thought it was a fun time because you get to see some competitive stuff in there, you know, so. Yeah, it was fun. I didn't know what to expect, but that was cool.
So I guess have to ask, because it was the logical outcome. I think that the only way that other ex-champions or retired professionals and stuff like that weren't going to try to get in on this was that if somebody got hurt and the reaction to it was very negative or something like that, then I could see that people would go, oh, I guess I don't want to have any involvement in that. But since that's not what happened, of course, I've seen Antonio Tarver. He seems like he wants to get in on it. Yeah. You know, it was the logical outcome. So my question is, do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that it's good that might entice some ex-pros out of the shadows, or kind of get them back in the ring or around the ring? Or do you think that that's something that's we'd rather stay away from that?
No, I think it's good. As long as guys are healthy and, you know, don't have a problem passing the medical exams and stuff like that, why not? I mean, I enjoyed watching the Big Three, you know, when a lot of the NBA guys came back and played in, you know, Cube's 3-on-3. I mean, it's kind of, it brings back some old memories, and You know, it's fun. I mean, I think if guys can pass the medicals and are physically fit, and you know, why not? I mean, the gloves are bigger. I mean, it's you kind of see some stuff, you know, that you would have loved to have seen, you know. So long as guys are physically fit and able to do it, I think now times have changed so much with modern medicine and health and you know, people really, you know, getting into health and fitness and stuff like that. I mean, as long as you're able to do it, I mean, why not? I mean, I still look at what George Foreman was able to do at 45 years old. So, I mean, these guys are beyond that, you know, 51 and 54, I thought looked great. I mean, speed and stuff. I mean, they weren't what they were before, but still, even at this stage, you know, I was watching how Tyson was moving, and I said, man, I mean, this was, it was something cool to see.
Yeah, for a little bit there, I kind of got some nostalgic feelings. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess the other kind of new ground that they were treading, is that Mike Tyson this morning, the morning after the exhibition, says that he definitely smoked marijuana like immediately before fighting and never really stopped. And so, I mean, it's, I guess, not a big revelation for a lot of people who either have met Mike, know Mike, or have read in the past few years that he's gotten into the cannabis industry. But still, going in there and trading punches, serious punches, with another ex-champion, and immediately coming out to the press and saying, hey, I smoked weed right before the fight. That's treading new ground, whether good or bad. So what's your opinion of that? I mean,
I'll tell you, weed sales have just went up. You know,
they probably 100%. Did. the entire show was sponsored by Weed Maps. Yeah. There was a mention and here and there. You know, I mean, and we're from, you know, coming from Portland here. This is nothing new to us.
Weed capital.
Basically. Yeah, this is nothing new to us here.
Yeah. I mean, weed is, marijuana is like for medical purposes, you know, also. I mean, look at Mike Tyson said, you know, he was reckless and all this stuff and he started smoking weed and he, you know, chilled out a bit. So, I mean, I think people need to look more into medical marijuana. I mean, it's legal now, so I didn't think he looked bad at all. I mean, I don't know what that does moving forward, but I mean, hey, I remember a time where they used to promote cigarettes all the time. So, and that, you know, that done a lot more damage than anything else, in my
opinion.
That's
true. And there used to be a time when you could reasonably expect that if you were going to be fighting indoors, you were going to be fighting somewhere where you're going to be breathing cigarette smoke the entire time you were fighting. Not saying that's good.
Yeah. Hence the name Smoker. I used to go to smoker fights and fight all the time. Them guys would sit in the front. They have cigars. This was in the 80s, you know, when I was an amateur. They would smoke cigars and, you know, it'd be black smoke. I mean, we just dealt with it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Yeah, at the very least, it opens the conversation, and yeah. I think that it might kind of blend the conversation a little bit with the separate conversation of performance-enhancing drugs in sports, and specifically in boxing and combat sports, because we've seen a handful of fighters over the years have, Mike Tyson specifically, I think it was the Galata fight, there was... there have been other fights. I just can't think of off the top of my head where fighters have been either suspended or had a result overturned because they tested positive for marijuana. And of course, the argument is, well, we don't even know if that's a performance enhancer. So the point being, it opens up the conversation a little bit. And if nothing else, I think that having that conversation, a more realistic conversation, that's probably a good thing.
No, I agree. I think so. I mean, yeah, well, why not? I mean, you know, I thought overall the whole night, it was some good, even undercard fights. I mean, I was like, man, this is, you know, it was rough seeing, you know, Nate Robinson, you know, get cold cocked like that. But you know what? It is boxing and it, you know, you got to be prepared the right way. But, you know, I give them all the credit for having the guts to get inside there, you know, and try a new experience like that. So, you know, my hat's off to him too, man, because it takes a lot just to get inside those ropes.
I admittedly feel bad for him today because he's definitely getting he's getting the rough end of it on social media last night and today. And I guess that's part of what you might be signing up for in this day and age. If you're potentially getting the crap kicked out of you on tape. But nonetheless, I do feel bad for him. And I have a lot of questions to ask you because you have experience with this specific type of event. And I think that that's something that I want to make sure people understand that there's going to be a lot of promoters looking to do this kind of thing in the near future now, because this came off without a hitch. That was the whole point of it, I think, and at least in part. And so with your experience and with Christina's experience putting a show like this together, how difficult is it to put an exhibition type of show together flanked by real, or, you know, quote unquote real boxing? I don't want to disparage the exhibition, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How difficult was it to put together with the Athletic Commission and all that kind of stuff?
It wasn't really tough. I mean, Christina know a little bit more about that. If it was really tough, I mean, I guess, what do you think? Was it?
From my point of view, the Oregon Commission never has had an exhibition here. So we were the first to do the exhibition, which was kind of nice to work with them with the questions.
Yeah.
We
experienced it all together, I guess.
Yeah. It was kind of a mutual thing, what they felt they needed, what we felt we needed. We kind of came up with a game plan.
And it was fair. And they asked a lot of questions to me about, like, you're sparring for fights, how, you know, and, you know, I told him, you know, yeah, we go, I mean, nobody's trying to really hurt each other, but I mean, it can get, you know, where it's going to be competitive. I mean, we both have championship egos. We both, you know, so we kind of, but I, and then.
In like, other words, you can't promise that every single punch is going to be pulled. That's not something you can promise.
Yeah, you can't, no, you can't promise it. Because you get hit with a good shot, or, you know, the guy's going to come back, or if I get hit with a good shot, I'm like, okay, I'm a, you know. But it's still there's a mutual respect inside there. But it's just like, you know, sparring, okay, we're going to pick it up. And you kind of know when you're going to. I mean, both guys will know. I mean, it's one of those things that.
It was good working with the commission and with Steve and Chop just to make for sure that, you know, safety is first.
Yeah.
They didn't have any contracts, so we created one that actually they're going to be using.
Yeah.
From now on, if they ever have any more exhibitions. They were really good to work with, and it was just nice having it here in Oregon.
Yeah.
From my perspective, you know, of course, full disclosure for anybody listening in, and if they didn't know, I'm part of the 2 Pound Sports team, and I'm thankful and lucky enough that I get to commentate on the shows, but I had no involvement and didn't really know exactly what was going on behind the scenes. But that being said, from my perspective, it seemed as though everything went off very well.
Yeah.
There were no real big hitches or anything like that. And it didn't seem as though anybody from the commission was nervous or worried about how it was going to go. It seemed as though it went about as seamless as last night did. Last night went pretty well too. And I was expecting a little more, not trouble, but just it was breaking new ground. So I figured there would be something that went down. And nah, you know, I got to say too, Snoop held it down. Snoop held it together.
Oh, Uncle Snoop.
Oh, yeah. I was saying, we have great commentators. You and Karen are just absolutely amazing. And it's nice you guys have fillers to fill in whenever we have like an early knockout or whatever. And you guys are just top notch. And it was fun to watch Snoop commentate.
Yeah, that was great. That was Snoop had me cracking up. Because it's like an uncle that comes over to a barbecue and he's watching fights.
I obviously try to take a slightly more professional, I guess, approach, just because that's what I've always seen and stuff when we're talking about commentating on boxing. But admittedly, I have to – I enjoyed Israel Adesanya's dropping F-bombs here and there. I enjoyed Snoop kind of just blurting out whatever he wanted, singing hymns.
Yeah,
when Robinson's getting knocked out, I was like, oh my God, this is so surreal. But it was fun. And the fact that it was kind of, you didn't necessarily have to take it really serious, I appreciated that.
No, I thought it was great. And, you know, I think all of us, nobody knew what to expect. And this was kind of, I want to say, like an underground kind of show, more like an under. That's how I feel about our shows, which I have no problem with the whole underground thing. I actually like it. I mean, I think, you know, but yeah, I felt like watching this, it was like an underground thing. It was something new. It was something that I hadn't really seen. It reminded me of something I was telling Christina last night. I said, it reminded me of something like the 80s, like, the look of it, it was like a throwback to the 80s for a second for me. Watching, you know, even people perform and, you know, Studio 54 moments with the smoke all in the room. I was like, what the heck is going on? You know, but it was fun. I mean, you know, I think us old boxing fans kind of needed something like that. I think so.
It was really good to bridge the gap between usually when you have people who are crusty old boxing fans and have been fans of boxing for a long time and they see something like this, it's really easy to dismiss and go, this isn't real boxing or this isn't what I remember or something like that. And then you can also point to newer fans who are watching this and going, ugh, this is boxing. This is why I don't watch boxing. Yeah. But you could take both kinds of fans, and they both got something that they wanted last night. And so even from that perspective, like the cross promotional perspective, from the perspective of like really understanding the consumer and the demographic, they nailed it. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Do you think that so the success of this, do you think that going forward, this is going to help with 2 Pound Sports and some of the ideas going forward? And I guess the other part of that question is, any news, any updates with what's going down with 2 Pound?
Well, to your first question, yeah, I think it will help. I mean, hopefully, I mean, people got to see Tyson and Jones, two of the biggest names in boxing, you know, for many years. And then, you know, us, when me and Chop did it, our people know us, boxing people know us, but not like Tyson and Jones. And, you know, I mean, shoot, I grew up loving Tyson and Jones and Roy. So, but I think moving forward, I think it does help. It's kind of, you know, you can kind of see what we can kind of see what we can get going. I mean, if people are interested in doing that. I mean, I've been kind of lobbying for a while because I think it's fun. I think no one gets hurt. I mean, you got to prepare like you're preparing for real and all that stuff. And second part of your question, we don't have any news yet. We're still kind of waiting for the whole Kate Brown to kind of open, let things open up, which is the governor here. You know, but we stand positive and just kind of, you know, prepping ourselves until, you know, once we can, we'll be ready to go and excited about it.
I have zero doubt that whenever it is that we can get back on the horse and start doing some shows again, they'll be terrific, but kind of on hold, which stinks, but is just the reality for a lot of, I think, especially small and kind of mid-level promoters. But but what you were, just to kind of piggyback off what you were saying a minute ago, that you have no problem saying that it's a smaller outfit or a club outfit or whatever, you know, that's really not an insult. And
no.
I know some people might take it that way or think about it that way because they want to be big time, but the club circuit, the mid-level shows, those really are the kind of lifeblood of boxing. And those are the things that, if those things are healthy, boxing is healthy. So the more we can adapt and the more that we can kind of figure out how to make stuff work, the better.
Yeah, and I think it's like, I mean, even the fans and stuff and the people watching, it's kind of like taking a trip all together. I mean, we all are enjoying it together and seeing where it goes. And you know, some of the fighters, you know, on our show, you kind of see where they end up. And I mean, it's a process. And me, you know, being there, being a champion before and you know, fighting my way to a good spot and then, you know, having, you know, things happen and you know, trying to rebuild your career and all that stuff. So it's just part of the boxing story. I think the mid-level promoters, the kind of the guys right there putting in the work, pushing these guys and girls to help them live their dreams is definitely needed. It's like a mom and pop's small business type thing where it actually gets bigger and better. And, you know, so yeah, no, I'm all for it. I like it. And I like being independent because, you know, my first love is boxing. I've always loved boxing and just to, you know, give something back to it, you know, if possible. And having you and Karen and of course Christina and many other people that help us do it, it makes it all worth it. And you know, we all love boxing, so this is great.
I want to add too, if you don't mind, it's just nice to be able to see guys that aren't able to make it onto TV to showcase their skills. We're able to kind of be a stepping stone for some of those people. Especially the locals here, and we always try to bring in other guys from out of town just to kind of help give them that stepping stone, because Steve wasn't able to do that here in Portland. He had to go to Vegas, you know, and we've seen some other talent from the Northwest have to do that as well. So I think that kind of helps bridge that gap, especially people that want to see the boxing shows but can't afford to go to Vegas or California. They're able to see it right here in their backyard, and that's really nice to have.
It's something that really the Pacific Northwest could use and has gotten in the last few years and got interrupted, unfortunately. But I guess one hopefully good development is that we were expecting to have Layla Carter defend her welterweight titles. And hopefully, well, she's gotten a little bit of a rivalry going on with Callie Reese, it sounds like.
And they've
Well, Layla's kind of been, I guess, getting under the skin of a number of different fighters. So hopefully that means more options and more attention. We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, Steve, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. I, you know, always have a good time talking to you, man.
Oh, no problem, man. Anytime. I enjoy it.
All right. Well, we'd love to get an update about 2 Pound Sports when there is one. But in the meanwhile, I'm sure we'll talk to you again. There's more boxing coming up and more stuff we got to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you.
If it weren't abundantly clear by listening, Steve's a great guy, and Christina Lensman, who you also heard, is awesome too, and I can't wait until we can start doing boxing things again in person. As for the rest of the boxing that happened this past weekend, let's start with Chavez Jr. and get that nonsense out of the way. I almost feel bad for giving it much time or effort, so to counteract that, I'll just kind of make fun of it, I guess. Look, Chavez Jr.'s Instagram account is probably, like, the coolest thing about him. He could probably find sponsors or something just posting videos of him pissing off his dad by being on his phone too much or prancing around the house in thong underwear or some shit. There's a market. Me. I am that market. But he can't stay dedicated enough to, you know, totally, like, not enrage any and every well-known trainer who ever works with him. So he's relegated to these kinds of cards at Parque Revolucion in Culiacan. The fight itself was sloppy, man. Junior landed to the back of the head just about every time light heavyweight Jason Minda went to the canvas, which was 4 times, I think. And the last time his corner threw in the towel. On some level, I feel bad for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. because he has no reason at all to be in the ring. Look, none, man. As far as I could tell, they're fine money-wise. He was a good middleweight for a few years. He got some recognition. But his dad is a beloved Mexican fighter, and the pressure that comes with that, I guess, whatever psychosis it's given Julio Jr., he can't get beyond it. And he keeps making these, like, semi-serious attempts at fighting. It's one of those cases where whatever it is he promises never matches what you get, so that unpredictability, that circus-like aspect to his fights is, that's what you have to be into, or else you're going to feel tricked. So then again, maybe it was worth $10 to find out that Jorge Arce has a nephew named Karim Arce, who is undefeated at 17-0-2, but no, probably not. But in the spirit of getting the shit out of the way, super middleweight Daniel Jacobs picked up a slow, atrocious, fucking vexing and all-around lame split decision over Gabriel Rosado in Hollywood, Florida. I wish I could in good conscience say I felt Rosado clearly deserved to win, but first, again, the fight was really bad, so I didn't closely score it because of that, but Rosado's lack of punching power, it just really hurt him. Every time Jacobs opened up and landed, he clearly had better power, sharper hands, so forth, but he just wasn't punching. Rosado controlled a good portion of the fight with his jab and movement, but he's been shaded before in close fights, and they rarely seem to go his way. This loss marks his 13th loss, but he probably made a better case to be put back on TV than Jacobs, who was brought in to look good and was content to just sit around. Even so, Jacobs will probably be the one going forward and getting the big payday, and that, unfortunately, is definitely boxing. While heavyweight Joe Joyce's win over Daniel Dubois may not have been spectacular, it was better than Jacobs Rosado by a healthy margin. The fight itself was like watching nearly any other fight, just 25% slower. Dubois entered with probably a better reputation on his jab, but Joyce jabbed the ever-loving shit out of Dubois' eye until it swelled shut, and Dubois took a knee in round 10, staying down for the count. Joe Joyce, who's about as unassuming and humble as a fighter could possibly be, absorb some big shots. You know, he got his pretty sturdy chin tested, and he steadily jabbed until Dubois' reportedly fractured eye, his eye socket, caused him to quit. But I said it. I said the Q word. It happens semi-frequently when a fighter stays in his corner or her corner, watches the referee count them out, something like that. Every time that happens, there's a debate as to what the threshold is. How much toughness does a fighter have to show to escape criticism or not be labeled a quitter? What kind of quitting is okay? Is quitting ever okay? Well, it's a good thing we have a bunch of 350-pound fucking Jasons lounging on the sideline confirming what toughness is. Uh-oh, look, that includes me. Look, I made this point on Twitter, but I'll reiterate since I can elaborate a bit here. These instances, like Rocky Marciano continuing on against Ezra Charles despite his nose literally, like, falling off his face, or maybe Willie Pep surviving an airplane crash and continuing to fight after recovering from that, those things are extraordinary. If every fighter did those things, they by definition would not be extraordinary. That's why we remember those things. That's why they stand out. That's why there's this consensus baseline respect every fighter gets for stepping into the ring at all. It's not a respect that absolves everything else or eclipses wrongdoing to the point of like sainthood, but there are hashtag levels to this shit, man. And all that said, Daniel Dubois could still go on to be great. He's 23. In any way, this is ignoring Joe Joyce, who did the damage in the first place. Joe Joyce is 11-0, but he is 35, so there's really not much time to waste, and thankfully it sounds like everyone involved understands that. This was an important win to get, though, and a level Joyce needed to get beyond if there was any sort of hope for, you know, a title shot to arise. And I just don't like how slow he looked, though. But, man, to be honest, heavyweight is the division where all of those deficiencies could be totally erased. This coming weekend, we have more boxing to possibly look forward to, like Billy Joe Saunders taking on Martin Murray in a battle of semi-active British former middleweights on DAZN, and Errol Spence Jr. fighting Danny Garcia on a Fox/Premier Boxing Champions pay-per-view. So hopefully we'll get to deliver with a preview of Spence Garcia specifically, but otherwise, I appreciate you listening into the Knuckles and Gloves podcast, so thank you for listening, and thank you to Steve and Christina for taking the time. If you're on Twitter, do me a favor and follow Steve 2 Pound Forbes there at 2LB Forbes and Christina Lunsman at C Lunsman, LUNZMAN, and follow me, Patrick Connor, at Patrick M. Connor. If you wouldn't mind giving some love to the Knuckles and Gloves account, both there and on Facebook, that would also be appreciated. And of course, subscribe either on your favorite podcast apps or subscribe to the new Knuckles and Gloves YouTube channel and stay tuned for some video content there as well, all right? Thanks again, everyone. Oh, when you hear me holler, baby.